Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to TMGS. It's the Michael Gaye Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6.03 p.m. on the East Coast, and of course, it's 3.03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is October 22nd, 2022, 10-22-2022, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday afternoon here in the ATL. I got to tell you guys something. I'm a little under the weather. I don't know. Earlier in the week, it just hit me. But I guess I know why, because for some reason earlier in the week, the temperature just dropped. I mean, we had like 40 degrees here in Atlanta. Well, actually, it was warm. And then all of a sudden, for about 3 days, it just dropped 40, 50 degrees. And now today, we're in the 70s. Yeah, that's the type of crap that's happening here in Atlanta. And so I'm a little under the weather, but I'm okay. Little congested, but thank you guys for joining us here in October. And coming up soon, as you well know, Halloween, we're going to do our Halloween show when it gets closer. We're going to talk about those type of things. But we got a lot of great topics that we're going to talk about today. Of course, we're going to get into the political thing in the first part of the show. I like to get the politics out the way. Some of us, you know, we discuss these things, and it is interesting how these things continue to go on and on and on, and there's always something changing every day. So we just try to stay up to date what's happening here, because it's crazy when you think about the fact that presidents of the past, you don't hear shit about them anymore. Really, you don't. You know, Barack Obama, you know, Bush's, you hear a little bit after they served office, you know, this and that and the other, but not to the extent of the former president every day now. And that's something we're going to talk about too. But we're going to look into some of the things that are happening with him and his cronies as the saga continues. But first, let me open up the mic of one of the co-hosts here. And, of course, it's the lady of the house, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Listen, Michael, I was kind of under the weather myself because I had a physical. And I don't know, for some reason, I decided to get two shots, that Prevnar, whatever, the new pneumonia shot. Even though I already had three other shots, I got that plus the flu shot. So one in each arm. And for about 2.5 days, I felt like my arms were a ton of bricks. And I had a fever. So I'll never.
So it's not an issue to. Well, that's why I wondered about that, because you said that you had both shots. So it's okay to do them both at the same time, or should there be a gap between
them? Some people will say you can get three different shots, but I just did the two because they weren't going to cost me anything at the doctor's office, and then the rest I'll get at the pharmacy. I just had a list of different things I had to get, like the Tdap, you know, and I got to get the fourth coronavirus shot, and then I'll be finished.
Okay. Well, the flu season is among us. It's definitely something that people, it's like you said, you had these shots going on. And then there's a lot of people who don't take flu shots. I'm going to be honest, I think I've had a flu shot twice in my life. I think only twice I've taken a flu shot. Because I normally don't catch the flu.
I was the same way until I had bilateral pneumonia. And I had just got a pneumonia shot. And a week later, I got pneumonia in both lungs and was in the hospital for 12 days. So I started getting the flu shot after that.
I guess it depends on an individual's immune system, of course. You know, folks will say, well, if you eat healthy, this and that and the other. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but, yeah, I think I've only had a flu shot maybe twice in my lifetime. And I would get the flu, or the times I've had the flu was when I was younger. But I can't recall really in any recent times of me, you know, having a flu virus or feeling that bad to where I needed a shot.
But I did get the pneumonia. I said I can't even remember ever having the flu.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get that bilateral pneumonia. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's start off, and before we get into the political thing, I just want to say something. I know it's early to say this, but we're getting into the holiday season, as we all know. All the Christmas stuff is out already. Items have been out since August. This is going too far, okay? You know, pretty soon Christmas is going to be year-round, I guess, because they're putting crap out so early. All these sales are going to be coming up. Already they're plotting and planning to get your money. So just slow down. You know, the items that you're going to get or you're looking for, they'll be there. Don't let the retail stores fool you, because I'm telling you, I've been watching this, because you guys know I work in retail, but I know how they plot and plan this. It's just to take advantage, okay? I'm not going to say any names, but just slow down. It's going to be okay. You know, just think wisely before you go spend this holiday season, because, Jen, I'm sure you already know that people are spending a lot more money than they needed to in the past, right?
Well, everything is higher also.
That's what I'm saying. Everything is higher in price. So be very cautious when you go shop. Look for the better deals. There are companies, there are retailers that you to buy online. So do your research before you run into the stores and start spending your money. You probably can save up to $50 or more if you purchased it online. Okay? So take your time. Trust me, I know. they want online shopping. All right, so I'm not going to elaborate anymore on that. Just giving you a little forward advice when you get ready to shop.
I just need to ask one question since you work in retail. At Walmart, the eggs are shrinking. They're costing
more. I said I wasn't going to mention any names, but go ahead. The eggs are shrinking. I said I wasn't going to mention any names, and you said, at Walmart. But go ahead.
Well, it's like you go in and what's supposed to be an extra large looks like it's a medium egg. You know, it's crazy. And then they're charging you twice the amount of money. And I'm like, what's going on? I mean, you crack an egg and it's like, do I need three?
Yeah.
Because it's that little. No.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about the reason why the eggs are shrinking, but you're right.
They're mislabeling. They're taking smaller eggs and putting them in cartons saying that they're extra large and large,
right.
And they're not.
Right. And you're right. You know, but see, that has always been the thing about products. I mean, if you really think about it, I know I'm not going off course here, but if you think about it, years ago when the Big Mac first came out, it was a Big Mac. The buns became smaller. The patties became smaller. But the name didn't change, you know. I remember back when you bought a quarter-pound burger, it was quarter-pound after it was cooked. Now they tell you, oh, it's a quarter pound before the cook. Well, you know what they did? They added more fat, so it shrinks up. It's less meat,
mm-hmm.
more fat. Okay, so,
they're not get wrong. It from.
But, right. But, yeah, I know what you're saying, is that where, you know, it's not the extra. Because I remember when extra large, yeah, that was a big egg. But now,
I used to get extra large in jumbo. Now I'm buying extra large, and I feel like I'm getting medium egg.
Well,
I really
like you said, they're doing a play on words. But see, you caught that, but a lot of other people don't catch it. But you caught that. It's just the way things are now, and you know you can't change it, you know. But you did notice it, and that's how I said you got to be aware of when you shop. I'm looking at a particular place. When you buy six wings from them, it's $7. For six wings. I'm like, for six wings, $7? When there's a place right here that you can buy six wings and fries and a drink for $8.
I went to this one restaurant and I ordered ten pieces, not a whole wing. But when I looked at it, it was like Cornish hen wings. They were so little. And I freaked out. They gave it to me free because I said, I just could not believe they were passing off those tiny wings. I said, what you doing, killing chicks?
Yeah.
The girl
that's
gave me the food free.
Because she knew you were right, you know. I mean, that's true. All right, so let's get into our first topic. And I know you probably have it up on your board. I'm going to pull it up on mine. In the political realm, Donald Trump. And as I just said earlier, it's amazing how we've had presidents who have come and gone, served their term or, you know, as presidents, and then moved on. We heard a little bit about what they did or what they're doing after, you know, their time they served in office, and that's it. And they support certain causes.
Right.
But the former president is still here, still I'm going to say a minister of society in a sense. He has all these cases he has to deal with. Janet, share with us, then what is this where he's trying to change his business into a different name?
Yes. well, the Attorney General, Letitia James, he was trying to I want to get to that. Hold on. You caught me off guard. I thought you were starting with something else first.
Oh, no, I'm sorry for you to share some of this information.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I don't mind. Well, see, Letitia James, he was being sued, the Trump family, the family name the their organization was being sued. So he decided to change the name over into a holding company, but she caught it ahead of time and is trying to block it. I guess he felt like if he changed the name, sort of like what Twitter did, not Twitter, but Facebook did to Meta,
Meta.
This is going to go away, but it's not going away because it's still the Trump family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because, like you said, Facebook changed to Meta, and then you think about it, Comcast changed to Xfinity. You know, there's a reason those things happen. Now, there are things where some major conglomerate takes over another one, right? But in this case, this is where he's just trying to change the name.
I shouldn't have really said change the name. He was changing it to a holding company from the Trump organization to a holding company. But that's still like changing the name because it's something different.
Right, because he's distancing the Trump name from the business, you know what I mean, so that it'll be under that new name or that holding company and not under the Trump organization or whatever. So in other words, it's like removing the family name while this whole thing is going on. Am I correct? It's like, hey, look, we got to get our name out of there, right? That's the way I see it.
Well, you know, she was suing him for a lot, and so I guess he figured, you know, to keep from – I guess losing it. I don't know what the mess behind his madness was, but I just thought that was real odd that he at the, you know, well, it's like he's thinking because so many things are happening and all these attorneys and judges that he put in place during his administration with McConnell, most of them are batting down everything that they're taken to the Supreme Court, to the Circuit Court, to the Federal Court.
Mm.
They're kicking it back, you know. So he's like a fish out of water.
Wow. That's crazy. But I get why he's doing it. It's to remove the name. Now, Lindsey Graham, okay, and Lindsey Graham has been subpoena to appear in front of in court here in Atlanta, Georgia. What's that all about?
Well, you know, he's been trying not to testify because he felt that because he was part of the Senate, he shouldn't be involved in anything like that. But he was one of the ones that also called Georgia. The Raffensperger, or he called him trying to get him to change some of the votes, but he said that's not what he was doing. But everybody else seems to think that's what he was trying to do, you know. And then he didn't want to testify, but now they have he's been subpoenaed to be. He has to come testify, so that's going to be very interesting.
So here's what it says here in this article, that federal appeals court on Thursday rejected Senator Lindsey Graham's emergency request that it halt a subpoena for his testimony from the Atlanta area grand jury investigating efforts to undermine the 2022 election in Georgia. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with a lower court judge in ruling that the South Carolina Republican senator may be questioned about certain topics. Communication coordination with the Trump campaign regarding its post-election efforts in Georgia, public statements regarding the 2020 election, and efforts to, what is that, C-A-J-O-L-E, cajole, or exhort, Georgia, come on now, here comes an advertisement, I knew that, okay. Elections officials are not legislative activities protected by the speech and debate clause of the Constitution, the three-judge panel ruled. With its new ruling, the appeals court lifted the temporary hold it had placed on the subpoena while it was considering Graham's case. However, Graham may not be questioned about conduct related to any fact-finding he was doing about whether to vote to certify the 2020 election results, the court ruled, okaying the approach taken by the lower court.
I just don't understand why some people think they are above the law and that they can get away with a little bit of just everything, just about everything, you know?
Well, I can, because they do think they are above the law. I can understand it. You know, power and money goes a long ways, you know, which we're going to get into that more into the show about another thing that I spoke to you about. About a case of the young lady, the social media model, thought she was above the law and could get away with things. And that's something we'll get into later on. All right, so with that being said, let's see what else is going on in politics here. We also have, in Florida. Now here's the thing, you guys. You gotta kind of look at this as crazy. If you are a felon, you lose your right to vote in most states. At least in Florida, or one thing about Florida, if you are a convicted felon of a murder or rape or something like that, you're not allowed to vote whatsoever.
You pay your debt to society by being in prison, but when you get out, you have fines that you have to pay, and then you're supposed to be able to, according to them, vote.
Right. Well, you have to pay certain fines, and then you have to go through a certain process in order to be allowed or to register to vote. Right. So here's the thing. There are individuals who recently have been arrested for voting in the last general election. In the last one. Not now, but in the last one. Okay, but here's
the
thing.
They were told that they could vote.
The state, right? The state mailed them information to vote with their name on it. Now, is that a catch-22 or what? Why? I mean, you would think now. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you would think that the state would know that this is a felon. And they shouldn't have any access to any kind of documentation for voting whatsoever or how to vote. You wouldn't mail that out to them. That should be, there should be something in the system. There should be something in the system that say, no, not qualified. Don't even mail them this. But they did anyway. So anybody, I think, would assume that, cool, I'm going to vote. You sent me this information. I guess it's cool. And now all of a sudden here come the police, and there's a video of these individuals being arrested, not one, more than one, being arrested.
Mm-hmm. He was 12.
And even the officers felt like that was wrong. And you hear them make comments of like, hey, I understand what you mean, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, how am I breaking the law if the state did this? Go ahead, Jenny.
Well, DeSantis, they had passed a law, you know, saying that they could vote, and then they took that away because he decided they had to pay fines. And so then they went and they started arresting people who had voted. But they voted because they had a voting card. A registration card, and they voted because they were told they could vote. And a judge just recently threw it out because it wasn't like they were multiply going to different locations and voting. It was one precinct that they went to that they were supposed to be going to vote. Yeah. So he's
Let's
also
what
going
area
to take
that
same
please.
Information Let's... and pass it on to the other attorney for the other client. So that they can get off. So now DeSantis and his little crew have to go back and relook at their laws and modify it.
Okay, so let's take a guess where that particular precinct, the location might have been. What is a precinct of people of color?
Yes.
I mean, I'm just, no, get out of here. You kidding me. It wasn't in a affluent white neighborhood or $5 area, you know, big homes, you know, because, you know, people of all colors and nationality commit crimes, but it just happened to be in a particular area that's predominantly people of color. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so that's
so
why
let me
the
people go ahead and read this. Let me read this here real quick, because I have to look at the story here. DeSantis election crimes arrest confuse some suspects. Yeah, it should be confusing. Newly released police body cam footage shows that three of the 20 people who were arrested in Florida for allegedly voting illegally in the 2020 election appeared to be surprised that they had done anything wrong. The recordings made by local police and obtained by the Tampa Bay Times were published after Republican Governor Ron DeSantis in August announced charges against the suspects as the first major public move of his controversial election police unit. DeSantis said the people targeted had been convicted of murder or a felony sexual offense and therefore were not eligible to vote under a 2018 constitutional amendment that restores voting rights to some felons. The 20 people were among more than 11 million Florida voters who cast ballots in the 2020 election, leading critics of DeSantis to renew accusations that the election police force would serve as a political tool for the governor. Excuse me. Going forward, the 20 people, and this is 20 people, who were arrested prior convictions were able to register to vote, leading them to apparently believe they could legally cast ballots, according to court records. At least part of the confusion stems from language in the voter registration forms that requires applicants to swear that they are, swear that they are not a felon, or if they are, that they have had their rights restored. The forms do not inquire specifically about past convictions for murder and felony sexual assault. In one of the body cam videos, 55-year-old Romana Oliver explained, "Oh my God," when officers explained she was being arrested for voter fraud. Quote, "Voter fraud," she said. "I voted, but I ain't committed no fraud." Oliver was convicted of second-degree murder in December 2000, but eventually registered to vote, was given a voter registration card and cast a ballot in the 2020 election, court records show. In another video, Nathan Hart, convicted of a felony molestation charge in 2006, told officers that someone at the driver's license place encouraged him to register to vote. He said, "Well, just fill out this form, and if they let you vote, then you can't," 49 told officers. "If they don't, then you can't." An officer arresting Hart replied, "Then there's your defense," adding, "That sounds like a loophole to me." This is the officer mm-hmm. making this up. Sounds like a loophole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now let me go on with a little bit more on this. In the third video obtained by the Tampa Bay Times, Tony Patterson expressed continued confusion over why he was being arrested, telling officers, "I thought felons were able to vote. Why would you let me vote if I wasn't able to vote?" Patterson was convicted in 2005 of a felony sex crime and with a victim under the age of 16, Patterson, according to the court records. In October 2019, he completed What happened here? Okay, there it is. He completed a voter registration form affirming that "I am not a convicted felon, and if I am, my right to vote has been restored." Patterson told law enforcement, according to an affidavit on the voter fraud charges, that he received a mail ballot and letter in the mail stating he was eligible to vote. He filled this out and mailed it in October 2020. Neil Volz, deputy director of Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, said Florida should have a proper voter verification system to screen potential voters before they register to vote. as he said other states have. There's the catch-22. Didn't I just say, how come they didn't catch this? So you pretty much, I mean, you pretty much lured these people into breaking the law.
Yeah, having them think it's okay. And now they want to give them a large fine, you know, so they probably won't be voting anytime, you know, because some of those fines they give for people who come out of prison is ridiculous, especially if you got an ankle bracelet and you got to go report to your parole officer. So when are you going, the money that they have to give really comes from a family member, you know. And that's not
because they don't have a job. Most of them don't. Well, most of them don't have a job yet when they get out. It's hard for them to get a job. So yeah, most of them are probably getting support. So here's the thing: it has a major effect, right? Because as I was reading this story and I was looking at it earlier, of where I read a thing of where there are other individuals who have been released from prison and everything. They don't vote because of this situation.
Yes,
and they're not the ones who have had a you know, murder conviction or a molestation type thing, which that's what they, you know, stipulate, that if you have those type of things, you cannot vote or you have to go through a certain process.
Yeah, but sometimes they say crime or felony. They don't just say a felony. You know, it depends on where you're going to apply.
But still, again, it's where people feel like, well, I'm not going to even attempt because I might become a victim, you know, like these individuals, and be arrested for voting. So that discourages a lot of people. Now imagine that felon gets out like, man, I ain't voting to shit, man. You know what happened to a homeboy over there? They do that to me, and they share that with somebody else. Yeah, I agree with you. They might come up with some bullshit with me, so I ain't going to vote either. So it becomes something where people say, forget it. You understand my point? And it's a seed, in a sense. It's being planted into minds of many other individuals who may have the right to vote, going through the right process. But they say, forget it. I ain't voting. That's pretty deep.
Right, but the good thing is the attorney that helped the first person, right now I wasn't reading the story again, but he's also helping the other people that was arrested because it was a total of 20, you know, and they're getting legal representation for the ones who don't have it, which I think that's a good thing. I mean, that's something that should have been done anyway.
Right, but hopefully it will hopefully it will educate other people. You know what I mean? It will educate other people because see, when something like that happens, as I said, and I'll say again, it will discourage other folks to vote.
Yeah, so chilling effect they said on other felons who are eligible to vote. They're afraid to go vote because you know they might be eligible. But they're afraid to go because they might get in jail.
Now imagine you get arrested, and I don't know what the bail might be. Okay, it doesn't say, but what the bail might be to get out of jail, and you got a job. Let's say you have a job, and now you're arrested. You can't show up for work. Now you lose your job because you're being arrested due to this shit. And let's say and normally it's usually 30 days, you know. When you do 30 days, well, your job is gone.
Or you're trying to prove that you're innocent, you know.
Yeah, right,
being
okay.
Black,
and now
a lot
you gotta
of times you're innocent until you're being proved guilty, but it's the opposite. You're guilty, you've got to prove
innocent. You're right, exactly. And I'm glad that you said that because, you know, innocent until proven guilty is bullshit. You're guilty until you can prove your innocence. That's really the way it works. You know, I don't know who came up with that other stuff. But back to what I was saying, here you have a job. you're not able to show up to work because you've been arrested for something that you have no clue that this was going down because of the confusion of what the whole thing was, right? And
right.
You can't bail out. You don't have the money to bail out. And let's say you do, or let's say a family member bails you out. That's money spent, money owed, money lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get out of jail. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're fortunate and your employer is the type to be like, hey, your job is still here when you get out. But that's not really the case in a lot of situations. You miss so many days of work. Some employers, especially major companies, don't give a shit because they got other folks
right.
who are just waiting to get that job, right? They'll
mm-hmm.
replace you in no time. But now you're screwed. And now, I'm not saying this always happens, but imagine a felon who's trying to do the right thing, and now you screwed him. What's to keep him from going back to doing what he used to do? Go rob something because he needs money.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to pay his light bill. He needs to pay his rent. You done made him lose his damn job.
Yeah, especially if you don't have support from a family member or a friend, you know?
Correct.
It's hard.
What a ripple effect. So that destroys the family or the home
mm-hmm.
due to a misunderstanding?
When a person is incarcerated and they're convicted of a felony and they go to, period. It doesn't have to be a felony. And they go to prison. It's hard, real hard, even when the prisoners have to make calls, you know, collect calls. That's very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got to put money on
yeah.
the book, you know, and, you know, it's like the family's in prison right along with that prisoner.
Oh, trust me. I know because here's the thing that tripped me out is that where, like you said, they're making a collect call to a family member, right? And
mm-hmm.
as you just said, those calls are very expensive. It's not the inmate who's paying for it. It's the family member. So as you just said, you are punishing the family member too because
mm-hmm.
they're having to pay for the call. I never understood that. I'm
yeah.
like, come on now.
I also don't understand when they move the prisoners further and further away. It's like they're, you know, I know they do that. I know in New York State and in Georgia, they move the inmates further and further away from the family. You know, he might start off in Gwinnett County. Next thing you know, he's on the border of Florida, close to Florida. So, you know, and
well,
so when you're trying to go see that person and you're driving 2 or 3 hours to go see that person one way, then got to drive 2 to 3 hours or more back, you know, your whole weekend's really
yeah.
shot, you know. And
well,
then you
now,
go
I'm,
and you
I'm,
sit
I'm,
with
I'm,
that person and you can't even touch them. You can just look at them and that's it.
Yeah, but I'm not going to defend the police tactics and do that, but in a way I can look at it where – in the event you escape, you're not very familiar with your surroundings at that point,
yeah.
okay? If you're down at the border of Florida and you happen to get out of those walls, you'd be like, man, what damn way I go? Shit, what's north and south? Okay, I know north and south, but I don't know anybody here. So I could get
yeah,
that
I,
a little
do
bit.
Do I go back to
now,
Georgia
if you live in
or if
Georgia,
I'm stepping across the
no, I'm, yeah, I'm saying, but if you're incarcerated in Georgia, in Gwinnett County, and you live in Gwinnett County, hell, you know how to hop on the bus. You know which way you're going. You know where you're going. Okay, you know, I mean, you're familiar with your surroundings then. So I kind of get the moving them in an area they're not familiar with in the event, the very unlikely event you escape, okay, or walk off of a detail. There have been guys
right.
who have been on a detail out in public and walk away from the detail.
Right. And I just
See?
Threw Gwinnett County out there. It was, you know, because there's a lot of counties.
Yeah,
it's not just one
county. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, any county, true enough. But, yeah, I can get, you know, or I can understand them relocating folks, you know, in an area that they're not familiar with. I get that. But again, like you said, when you're making phone calls, collect calls, because in jails, you know, you're not going to have no cash on you and put coins in there and make phone calls. No, all your calls are collect calls. But it is a punishment to the family because it's high dollar. You know, it adds up, you know. And it's sad to say he has a husband in jail 30 days or whatever. He's trying to call his wife, say hello to his kids. The kids are wondering, where's daddy? When's daddy coming home? And this, that, and the other. And every time you call home, you're paying, you know, you only have a limited amount of time to talk, I'm sure.
That's it.
You're paying all this $5. And daddy's check's not coming in because daddy's in jail. So, you know, right, it is a sad process. I think that they shouldn't, you know, punish the family in that way. So let's do this. Let's take a quick music break and come back and get into another topic. I want you guys to, for all of you that are listening, Janet, I'm pretty sure you already have, but here's a case that, or a story I want to share with you about an internet model, a fans-only model. She's been on all kinds of social media pages, and she just blew up, okay? Millions of followers. And all of a sudden, her boyfriend ends up dead. And she claims it was self-defense. I'm going to share this story, and I want you guys to listen to it and chime in. Tell me your thoughts about it, because I think that it's really sad how this went down. And just the way it happened, it made me think about another incident where an individual was killed. But we're going to take a quick music break, and I'm gonna kind of like pep it up a little bit. This is an instrumental, one of my favorites. I've loved this song for years because I'm a former drummer. I play drums, and one of my favorite drummers was a guy named Harvey Mason. You've heard this man play on many, many legendary classic hit records. One was the song Strawberry Letter 23. No, it's not 22. I know that's what they say in the song, but if you read the title, the song is actually considered the 23rd letter by the Brothers Johnson. You guys know Strawberry Letter. But anyway, that's Harvey Mason on the drums. But here's a track that Harvey did on one of his solo albums called Earth Mover. And it's uplifting. It's just a great song. So let's take a break. Go ahead and get yourself a snack. Go use the restroom. We'll be right back. This is Welcome back to TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. That's Harvey Mason from his album Earth Mover. That's called KY and the Curb. I know you probably didn't hear the stuff as clearly as I wish you could, but if you go to YouTube, pull it up. I'm telling you, this is one of the awesome, most amazing drummers of all time. I prefer to call him a percussionist. But welcome back to the show. And I see some folks here on the board, and thank you for joining us. I see some folks that have been sitting back and listening for a little bit, so I appreciate you. I want to bring up this story here about this individual. She has actually two names. Her name is Courtney. She goes by Clinny. I think that was her regular name. And then there's one,
Taylor.
And excuse me, she's an OnlyFans model. She became very popular due to the fact that, she came from a well-to-do family, became popular because she was doing videos on, on bodybuilding, or not bodybuilding per se, but, weight training, this and that and the other. And she became really popular. And then companies started approaching her to advertise their products. And she made a lot of money at this. She dated a few different guys here and there, this and the other. But then she met this one individual that got to know her and spend time with her. And for some reason, they hit it off. Okay. But things were not great in paradise. Things were kind of not as they seem, as they say. So here's the story. OnlyFans model Courtney Clinny, also known as Taylor, cries out for help 2 days before killing new body cam video shows. Okay. So the story goes, OnlyFans model Courtney Clinny freaked out in her Miami apartment building and claimed her boyfriend attempted to attack her 2 days before she allegedly butchered him. This according to newly released police body cam footage. The dramatic videos were filmed April 1st of 2022 after police responded to the swanky condo to investigate a domestic squabble between Courtney and Christian Obamseli, okay, which his nickname was Toby. Courtney was charged with Christian's murder after they got into another blowout fight 2 days later. Okay, something about that doesn't read right. Okay, so wait a minute. All right, so let me go down. In the body cam footage, Courtney is seen with the police and building employee who explains Christian charged at Clinny in the lobby and staff had to step in to prevent him from hurting her. Now, this story comes from TMZ, so I'm going to finish it out, but I'm going to tell you what I saw. Courtney frantically tells the cops she broke up with Christian, but he wouldn't leave her apartment. At one point, she becomes very upset and asks for a restraining order against him. Let me scroll down. But police tell Courtney they can't do anything, not even kick Christian out of her apartment unless she gets the stay-away order through the court. That's when Courtney breaks down in tears, insisting she's the victim and scared to even walk her dog. Cops then search the building and Courtney's apartment, but they can't find Christian anywhere. As reported, Courtney fled to Hawaii after Christian slain, but was arrested there in August and extradited back to Miami to stand trial for second-degree murder. Courtney claims self-defense, pointing to Christian's alleged history of abusing her. Alleged history. Christian's family accused Courtney of being the aggressor and trying to rewrite history. Now, Janet, you did look at the videos that I asked you to look at, right?
Yes, whatever I could find, I looked at videos and, and read a couple of articles.
Okay. Now, here's the crazy thing. There's a video of them on the elevator. You know, all elevators have cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And this video shows clearly she's beating on him. And not once does he raise a fist. He's pushing her away. He's trying to block her punches. But not once do you see him smack her, slap her, or, you know, throw her on the floor of the elevator or anything. Not once. There has, and by the way, the way I came about this story, I just happened to come home one evening and I had the TV on and it came up and I kept glancing and glancing and I said, wait a minute. And I started watching it. And according to friends of the couple, they never saw him being violent towards them. When they got the apartment, in 3 months period, there were 12 calls to police. 12 calls.
And who was calling the police?
Her. No, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. The tenants. I'm sorry. The tenants were calling because mm-hmm. they were disturbing the peace.
Right.
The tenants, not her, were calling. Let me open up this microphone. I believe this is Captain Kevon. I know she checked out the story. Hey, Cotton, how you doing?
Hey, Cotton.
Hey, everybody. Hey.
Okay. Hey. You took a pause
yes,
here
I did
for a moment.
Check out the story. It almost feels like, and I hate to say this, but it feels like a Jeffrey Dahmer type of a situation. Where you don't do, the police come, they don't do nothing, and then the person ends up dead. This happens, like, way too often. Way mm-hmm. too often. Because at the end of the day, if there had been some restraint against her, she wouldn't have been able to kill him. He'd still be alive today.
Well, and here's the thing about the story that got me was the fact that they you know, they would get together, they break up, they get together, they break up. And he finally moves out of the apartment, but he comes back to visit because they had dogs, and so he'd come to play with the dogs and everything. Now, according to the timeline, the way this went down, of where when he got there and then the time of the death, after the autopsy or after the coroner checked it out, it seemed like it was 30 minutes before she even called the police. Okay. And according to the report, she claims she threw the knife at him.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the coroner, there's no way mm-hmm. that knife was thrown from across a room. It shows that knife had to be within inches
mm-hmm.
of him. There's no way. Now, the video, there's also a video, I don't know if you guys saw this, of where the police are talking to her. She's on the floor. She's covered in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the dogs are, like, you know, walking around. And she's like, you know, the dogs are coming up to her. And she's, like, talking to the dogs and kissing them and everything. Right? And then the most chilling part of this audio from the 911 call is where you can hear him say, I can't feel my arm. And then you hear him say more than once he says, I'm dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, I'm so sorry, baby. But the police believe her story, self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
They believed her for 4 months. And they actually looked at it as the case closed. Go ahead, Jen.
I felt it was suspicious when she was in the lobby when the people had called the police because they had been arguing in the lobby. And then one police officer, she was trying to talk to him quiet, and he went to go over to talk to somebody else, and she was kind of getting upset about it. So then she started whispering to the other police. So if you are a victim, why are you whispering, first of all, if you need mm-hmm. help? You know, it's like she was trying to sneak a story, put a little story in there. I didn't like that part.
Mm.
It just seemed like she was doing something. She was sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next
thing,
they say he died.
I don't know, but Cotton, what did you get from? I mean, you saw all the video clips of when she talked to the police and the. and the clip of where she was, when she was, you know, the crime scene, when she was on the floor and the dogs were walking around her. Did you see all that too?
I didn't see them all. I saw just the, I didn't see them all. I just saw a few of them. But this is the thing that I think I had a discussion with Michael about when he said he wanted to, and I saw it, and I said, this is where men, y'all don't want to, but y'all need to start reporting these women with this bad behavior. If she put her hands on, because if you put your hands on her, you're going to jail. It doesn't matter what happens. But if she puts her hands on you, it's like, oh, you're a man. You should be able to take it. No, because if I'm not mistaken, when we were all growing up, mama said, don't let nobody put their hands on you. Then said, well, don't let nobody put your hands on you unless it's a girl. Then she can slap you all she wants to. No. Start reporting these women with bad behaviors and this crazy attitude. Sorry, y'all. With these bad attitudes, because we always end up, this goes all the way back to, I felt like this goes all the way back to Emmett Till, and I'm going to be quiet because they're talking. I'm in the airport. I apologize.
No problem. No, I want you to chime in. I mute you when you're done, and then I open up your mic when I ask you a question. So, no, you're cool. But, right, you know, here's and the thing is I didn't mention yet is that Courtney is white and her boyfriend is black. Right. Okay. So when I heard the story and when I hear that the police believed what she said, I'm like, whoa. Before the investigation is finished, you're going to believe that this is self-defense automatically? And they closed the case.
Mm-hmm.
They closed the case. So they just assumed, this big black man. Well, yeah, they just assumed this big black man attacked this poor little girl who's a social media sweetheart. There's no way she killed him on purpose. It was self-defense. Look at him. He's a big black guy. Come on now. Yeah, I think it's a shut case. They assume this shit. And the family had to fight to get the case reopened. Meanwhile, she left Florida and went to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, the family got a lawyer who did more digging and investigating and had some questions about, whoa, wait a minute. Let's go back and look at these videos. Let's look at the elevator attack where she's beating on him and he doesn't even raise a hand. Let's talk to the friends and in fact she did a podcast show and really incriminated herself of the type of character she was or her character on the podcast. And you guys can look that up. But what bothers me and Janet, I told you, it made me think about Both and John.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, there was allegations that he had a relationship with that white police officer, right?
Right. Well, it reminded me of that also, Michael. You know, because
right.
She tried to cover that up, you know, and try to act like, oh, I was tired and I thought I was at my apartment. No, you didn't. No, you didn't because one, I think they said one floor had carpet, the other one didn't. I mean, your door.
No, it wasn't carpet. It was the doormat. He had a red doormat. She didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The doormat. Right.
Right.
But
it was a red doormat.
She didn't just call right away when she shot him all those times. She didn't just call right away.
Well, the whole thing is that what I'm saying is that well, that alone, fortunately she was convicted of the murder, but it took so much time for them to look at her. Come on now, this is not adding up. You know, I don't care what apartment complex you live in. You know whether or not you have a red doormat in front of your door. If I come home and I see a red doormat and I know I don't have one, I'm going to be like, what, did somebody just move in my place?
Banging on the door. The door was
partially cracked, is what the story said. that the door was partially cracked. He was sitting in there watching TV. He was eating, I think, what was it, either some ice cream or cereal or whatever, and it was on the table. She had claimed that he attacked her or whatever, and she thought it was an intruder. But back to this story, here is this black man in a relationship with this social media fans only, you know, who's got a million followers. And she was making money. There's a report where she got upset and threw all his crap out and tore up his stuff, this and the other, the suitcases and everything. And then within a day or two, she goes and buy him brand new, a whole brand new set. She complained later on to folks saying that he's taking advantage of her and, you know, using her because of her money. But he was handling her business for her. And the guy was doing business. I mean, he wasn't no slouch. They will break up, get back together. But again, what bothers me and the reason why I wanted to discuss this case is the immediate way that the police said, oh, well, yeah, it's self-defense. But now we come to find out that was not true. How can you throw a knife from across the room and the autopsy clearly shows that knife was in much closer proximity than being thrown, unless she's a fucking superhero and got super strength? There's no way. Claim that she threw the knife to scare him wouldn't mean for it to hit him in the chest. So what, are you a professional knife thrower now? And I'm sure if I turn around and somebody is throwing a knife at me, I'm going to try to dodge it so it wouldn't hit me directly in my chest. I'm going to put my arm up or something if you're across the room. I'm definitely going to react in that way so it doesn't hit my vital organs. So that story has to be debunked. She murdered that man.
Just like they murdered Aubrey.
Now here's another question.
How many months later did they wait until they arrested those men? Exactly. So it's just different situation, but same.
I mean, I agree with you. Yeah, because it's like I still look at it where, you know, it's had it been you or me.
Under the jail. You would have been guilty immediately, first of all. They would have handcuffed you, took you right down, processed you, and then told you, yeah, he might, you need to get a lawyer. But no. With her, it's, oh, okay, well, we're going to let you go and, you know, go on home and go on down and vacation or do whatever it is you're going to do. No. I'm glad they fought, but the beginning part of that is men have to stop allowing women to get away with that type of bad behavior. We are not the new world is not the women are the, now it's kind of equal, because either one can flip, but women have been doing it so long and they're crying those tears to get away with it that we keep making them out to be the victim first and accusing him of being the aggressor. It's not always like that. A lot of times it's women that are the aggressors.
Good point. But what really bothered me about the story and the reason why I brought it up again and wanted to talk about it is because as black people, we are always the villain. And people buy it.
Yep.
We're always the villain. But Botham Jean, he became the villain. But you know what? What happened? Which if you guys watched it, when his killer went to court, one family member, his brother, forgave her and hugged her in the courtroom. Even the judge
and gave her a Bible.
In the killing of the 9 people in Carolina, every single person forgave Dylan Roof, except for one individual, said, I could never forgive him. But we are forgiving people. Why is that?
Yeah, we are. And it's okay to be forgiving,
so
but don't
forgiving?
Be stupid.
But we still need to go to jail.
We still need a conviction.
Yeah. Well, but why are we so more forgiving than some others? Why?
Faith, being a Christian, believing in God.
There you go.
Yep, absolutely. God has plays a major role in that.
Okay. But look at all these people who believe in God and they are not forgiving, right, as much as we are.
That's where the faith comes in at, because you can say you believe in something, but you can't pick religion up and put it down whenever it suits you. That's something you do on a daily basis.
Now, let me ask another question. I'm gonna switch gears on this. Do you think that the boyfriend, and I've seen some responses, because I've seen the story pop up on some social media pages and some discussions, but like I said, I saw it on TV, and it just drew my attention. I was like, wow. And it made me think of, you know, relationships, not necessarily interracial. But looking at this, it is an interracial relationship, and it brought me back to Bolton John and the police officer, you know, here these two black men in a racial relationship get killed. Do you think that he played a role in his own murder because he should have left her alone long ago? Do you think he made the mistake of still being around her and you know, trying to be friends with her after some telltale signs of her
loved her, it's hard to just walk away when you love somebody. Yeah.
Okay.
He probably didn't think she was going to have to go that far.
But that's how a lot of women end up dead too, because they don't walk away, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
If you saw that elevator fight, if that was my brother, I would be kicking her ass. I would have, just from watching that right there, she would have got her ass whooped for putting her hands on my brother. If that had been my son, it would have been the same thing. You ain't got to fight her. I got you. I bet you she won't do it again after I finish with her. But that's the thing. It's like you've given her too many opportunities to eventually, just like women do, and then you end up dead. And it's like, if I had just stayed away and disconnected and been done with that person, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through. I'd still be here.
Now, it's interesting that you brought that up, because I was trying to think of it. But you remember, remember when a lot of football players got in trouble, right? Ray Rice, I believe, who was with the Baltimore Ravens. Remember when that video came up about him and his girlfriend, or I don't know if his girlfriend or wife, that incident when they're in the elevator and he smacked her, right?
Mm-hmm.
That became major news because he's a celebrity. But she's now. Hold on. Let me back up and start again. Ray Rice is a football celebrity, and the video comes out of him smacking his old lady. Goes to court this and that, and everybody's like, "Oh, he should go to jail. They need to fire him off the team to get rid of him and everything." That's a personal thing, right? True enough. But now let's look at this story that we're talking about. This young lady, Courtney, she's a social media celebrity. She's got a million followers. And she's beating on her boyfriend. But y'all didn't hear about that shit. See, it
because
didn't come
men don't
to
like to
until...
report it. And that's the problem is men don't like to report it because they don't want to look weak. You should look at it as that if she can pick up something to knock you in your head with it and knock you out, she's a danger. I've been in those situations. And it's not a good situation. Call the police on her. Lock her up.
But it didn't come to light until they arrested her. This whole story didn't come to light until she was arrested. Keep in mind, I told you.
But you,
they ruled
you know
it
why,
as
right?
self-defense.
But you know why, right?
Tell me.
Part of the reason why. Part of the reason why is because he never reported that she was abusing him. He never reported. She kept calling, and then he's in the background. If he had made reports on her the way she was calling on him, they would have looked at that situation differently. Because it would have been like,
Hold on.
I'm not saying that's the whole reason. I'm saying that's part of the reason.
Yeah, but I'm going to say this, is that where it wasn't where she was calling on him. The reports,
neighbors,
the phone calls came from the tenants of the arguments going on, disturbing the peace. Keep in mind, in the story, it tells you where in the 3 months they lived there, there were 12 calls to the police from the tenants. Okay. In fact, the complex was on the verge of evicting them because of the constant phone calls from the tenants or complaints from the tenants of their arguments and everything. Now, I don't know if he was yelling at her and she's yelling at him, this and the other, but the tenants were complaining about constant, you know, disturbance in their apartment. All right, so...
But the issue is he didn't make any reports on her.
She called. The only thing that I do know is that she did call the police, which the video shows, which we talked about. I don't know if you joined the conversation then, but of where when she did call the police, and there is body cam when the police showed up, which Janet had mentioned. How she was acting and whispering and everything
it.
Like that.
I watched the video.
Right. So that's the only thing I know of her calling the police. I don't know if she ever called the police on him before and everything, but all the reports say that it was complaints from the tenants calling the police about the disturbance of the peace or calling the apartment management about it. And they were on the verge of being evicted. But do you think he plays a role, Janet, in what occurred to him, what happened to him? Should he have just stopped dealing with the woman? He would go over there. In fact, I think the day that he was killed, he went over there. She called him to come over there, allegedly. And the timeline, I think, was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Keep in mind that according to the investigation, she waited a little while before she called the police. And then she called her mother. And according to the report, her mother told her, don't say anything to the police, this, and that, and the other. So the mother, in a sense, was trying to, I don't know, maybe cover things up. Maybe there's something that the mother knew, you know, or was aware
that
this could possibly happen.
Because when you don't be thinking this is going to be my final hour or I'm going to die or, you know, I mean, they've had fights, he's been hit on before and he never got stabbed that we're aware of, you know, so he probably just didn't think anything of it.
Right.
You know,
and
some
again,
people have that sense of
discernment,
and they can tell when something wrong is going to happen, something bad. And then some people don't. They overlook it, you know. They dismiss
it. But I want to go back to the 911 call again of where when you hear the call, both of you heard the 911 call, right? When he says, I can't feel my arm, you hear this over the phone. And the 911 operator is trying to get the information from Courtney of where they're at, and she's incoherent, this, that, and the other, and she's, you know, screaming and everything. And the operator asks her, what is the address? She doesn't even know the address. She even asks her boyfriend, what's the address, as he's dying. Listen to the tape again. She asks him. And then you hear him say, I'm dying. Not once. But you hear me say it at least three times, I'm dying. And her final words to him was, I'm sorry, baby. This comes from a woman who allegedly claims she threw a knife from across the room. This is a case.
And it went into him probably still, and it went into him deep, you know.
Right.
But not throwing it from across the room. There was some force behind that.
That was up close and personal. I'm sorry. Granted, I wasn't there. I'm not a coroner or whatever. I'm not a doctor or anything, but according to what the story or the report that came about, there's no way that knife was thrown from across the room. That is serious damaging evidence. She stabbed that man. I'm going to follow this trial. I definitely want to follow this. But,
and you know, Michael,
I want to say this is that where this is the problem. Privilege. When people say there's no such thing as white privilege, here's a prime example. She was given the benefit of the doubt of murder for 4 months.
Like I said earlier, when we were talking, a black person is an innocent, is guilty, and they have to prove they're innocent. It's the opposite.
Right.
A minority person, not just black, but any Hispanic, any minority.
Well, any minority.
And I was also saying, if they should have taken fingerprints from that knife, because if she stabbed him, she had her hand wrapped around it. To throw that knife, her hand is not going to be wrapped around it to throw that knife like that. It would have been
different. That's a good point. Okay, forensic officer Davis, that's a good point. You have to have, right, there has to be a pattern of your hand holding the knife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when you throw a knife, you're not going to have your hand wrapped around the knife. Well, depends on how you
throw. Not like
again,
when you're
that.
Stabbing something.
Right. It's a difference. Yeah, the way that you're going to hold it, right. You're going to hold it like you're gripping it with your thumb up, to where when you're stabbing, your thumb's going to be forward. You follow me? Throwing it,
mm-hmm.
your thumb is going to be reversed. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Take your hand and think about it. If you're throwing a knife, your thumb would have to be pointing towards you to throw. But to stab, your thumb will have to be forward. And your finger pattern would be more reverse, going back towards the handle, where if you're throwing it, your finger pattern would be more forward on the handle of the knife. Come on now. We are forensic scientists today. If you just put your hands in that type of, you know, if you actually just try to imagine yourself doing it, that makes sense. So you kind of wonder, and they may have already done that. They might have. I guess that evidence will come forward in the trial. I hope that comes up about the fingerprint on the knife. And is there more than one fingerprint on the knife? Meaning, after she allegedly threw it, did he pull it out from his chest? Or if she actually stabbed him, that's going to tell a story. If she threw it, you would think that if it, when it hit his chest, he would grab it, right, and pull it away. If she stabbed him, he has no way of putting his hand.
Didn't he say, I can't feel my hands and my arms?
No. Listen to what I'm saying. He said, I can't feel my arm. Right. That's what you hear on the tape. What I'm saying is this. look at the two scenarios. If she allegedly threw the knife at him and it penetrated his chest, the normal instinct for anybody would be is to grab the knife and remove it from themselves. So when you fingerprint the knife, if her story is supposedly true, his fingerprint should be on the knife after him removing it from his chest. But if it's the way the autopsy shows of where there's no way that knife could have been thrown from a distance, it had to have been within a few inches.
Excuse me. Did they say the knife was removed from his chest?
I'm not saying that they said that. I'm saying if that was the case, I'm saying in a hypothetical way, if she threw the knife, according to her story, the normal response from anybody would be to grab the knife and remove it. Wouldn't you? If something was in you, you're going to remove it from you? That would
be
the
be
normal
afraid I would do more damage removing than pulling that
you're
out.
You're not going to do it. I don't think. Okay, you're thinking in a way of where that would be the thought process, but in a real life situation, most people would remove it. I think that most people would immediately remove it.
I'm with Janet because I'd be afraid that I would be afraid that I'm gonna start bleeding more, and it ain't nothing I can do. Like
that
would be my thought process. Because I've had something like in my arm, and it's like you don't want to touch it because you don't know if you're going to hit an artery or vein, or if you pull it, then what other damage are you going to cause?
That's right.
I think that,
that would be my thought process.
I think that most people would. Okay, I understand. I mean, that would be the right thing to do, but I think that in most cases, most folks will remove it. I may be wrong, okay? But still, and again, they have to have the fingerprints. I'm pretty sure they're going to – I mean, I'm pretty sure they already – did the fingerprint analysis of the knife. And again, as I said, depending on the when they fingerprint her and depending on how the fingerprints show up on the knife should tell exactly what hand she used, if she's left hand, right hand, should show a pattern of how it was in her hand, how that knife was in her hand. Was it in her hand as to be in a stabbing motion or a throwing?
Yeah, and did she have any bruises or anything on her or any red marks? Did she have any evidence of a struggle? I mean, you can file police reports.
I think there was a claim of a bruise. Do you recall that?
No.
I think there was a report of a bruise on her arm. And when, in fact, yeah, there was a report of a small bruise on her arm.
I'm Googling.
Let me look for that. But I believe there was a report of a small bruise, but I'm going to look for it. But we have to follow this story because I think that, okay, so just to go forward, I'm going to look at this article, and this comes from TMZ, and they're showing some video here, and it says, here's the first look at OnlyFans model Courtney Taylor following her arrest for allegedly murdering her boyfriend, and in an orange jumpsuit, she's looking much less glamorous. Courtney appeared Tuesday before a judge in Florida for an evidentiary hearing in her murder case, wearing a blue face covering while restrained in handcuffs. Let's see. Okay, so she's charged with second-degree murder. And so, let me see here. She was arrested in Hawaii. Wow, that's crazy. They're showing a photo of her and him together. Says we've obtained a teary-eyed Courtney's mugshot. Law enforcement sources say she was detained in Hawaii and will be transported back to the mainland, which that's already happened. According to her lawyer, Frank Prieto, tells TMZ, her arrest is shocking because they believe there is clear evidence of self-defense. Her lawyer claims Ava Maselli attacked and choked Courtney, leaving her, quote, no choice but to meet force with force. Now, think about this. This is crazy. Allegedly, she threw the knife at him.
Mm-hmm.
But look at here where it says attacked and choked her, leaving her, quote, no force but to meet force with force. So her story is that she threw the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on to say, CT's attorney, meaning Courtney Taylor, says she's been cooperating with the police investigation of the attorney herself if criminal charges were filed. Another reason they are disappointed in her sudden arrest. We told Courtney hold on, there's let me do this real quick for a moment.
Why are you
okay,
doing that, Mike?
I'm sorry?
I was reading an article where somebody said, damn, girl, are you a peach? Because you bruise like one. That means that's like some makeup on instead of an actual bruise, because a bruise is not going to look like some peachy makeup.
Okay.
Some blood.
And you saw that where?
I just read an article. I'll tell you in a second. I got to go back to it.
Okay. So let me finish where I was, and then you can share that. Okay, so CT's attorney says she's been cooperating with the police investigation and offered to turn herself in, which she already has, if criminal charges are filed. Another reason they are disappointed in her sudden arrest. We're told Courtney was seeking treatment in Hawaii for PTSD. Funny, that was the topic on Cotton Show, okay, Thursday, and other issues related to the case. And her lawyer claims she is a victim of domestic violence and human trafficking. Human trafficking? Okay. OnlyFans model, according to her, has been charged. Okay, Taylor was reportedly arrested. Okay, we already did all that. Wow. That's an interesting thing for the attorney to say.
Were they making sense?
Now, initially, hold on a minute. I got to say this, and this story changes so much because in the original thing, or the original thing she said, was that she threw the knife at him. That's what she originally said in the story I saw on television. Now, I see where it says the arrest comes months after authorities were investigating the stabbing death of Christian Olvencelli, who was found deceased in the couple's Miami department. Taylor had previously told cops she did, in fact, stab him with a knife, but instead it was in self-defense. But see, initially, and I got to find that, initially she claimed she threw the knife. She threw the knife at first. Now, go ahead, Janet, you were saying?
No, I said, were they making some kind of sex tapes or something?
No. I didn't hear anything about that. I'm sorry. I had comments
that people had posted on Facebook, and I don't know. It just sounds like.
Well, she has an OnlyFans page, which is usually explicit.
Right.
You have to join and pay to be to come and watch her do whatever it is that she's doing. So if that's what they're posting, it's probably because she did have an OnlyFans page, which. It's a private sector, and it's usually about sex. what people do. But in the Rolling Stone articles that I was reading, it says that she tried to stab one of her ex-boyfriends. Not only that, she drugs. And so it's not just one boyfriend, but she was violent to a couple of her previous boyfriends.
Correct.
So here it is again. We're letting her get away with it because she's what? A woman and she's Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Maybe one of her fans posted these things from Facebook, but that's crazy. I mean, you can tell from what the comments that they were doing something.
Well, keep in mind,
she was making a lot of money.
Yeah, she was very athletic. She grew to be a, you know, as you said, in modeling and everything. Pardon me. And then she was doing this, you know, not body sculpting, but like, you know, toning and everything. She had followers with that. But then when she started like her OnlyFans pages, she started dressing a little more risque and more sexual and more provocative. And she wound up with over 1 million followers and was making money. She started making a lot more money. But he was handling the business. Plus, he also, I'm trying to think what kind of business he was in, because he had his own business too. Hers was more financially stable and making more money between the two. She was making more money between the two. All right. So they would travel together a lot, go to different, you know, places, this and the other. But as was said by some friends, when they'd be out, you know, one time in one situation, she got mad at him, pulled him out away from them, but they were still in earshot, and she started fussing and cussing with him, accusing him of looking at another woman. You know, I mean, I don't know. That's a bit deep. If I was out in public and my old lady told me, come here, why are you looking at that woman? I'd be like, look, time for us to go home. Hell, I'm not looking at her. In what way? She walked by, I looked, and I turned. What, you thinking I'm googly-eyed her or something? Whatever. We have to go. Because you're not going to embarrass me in front of everybody and accuse me of doing something inappropriate if I didn't. And chastise me like that.
But
and that's what she would do to him.
The new millennials, that's exactly what they do. And we're saying
right.
that it's normal when it's not.
Right.
We're normalizing that. It's not. He can look at whoever he wants to look at. He got eyes. That's what he's supposed to do.
You can look, but be cautious because I see guys look at women. I mean, I see women and walk by and I look. I was like, sometimes I'm like, wow, she's in great shape. I might be like, ooh, she's nice looking, you know, in my mind, you know. But then I see guys looking at other women, and they'll turn, I see them, and they'll be laughing. Like, you see that? I'm like, hey, you know, there's a crime against that. You know, they say, what is that? I said, called reckless eyeballing. You could get arrested for it. Be careful of reckless eyeballing. Just, you know, you don't overdo it. You know, and maybe she felt like he was looking too long, I guess, or too hard. But you know,
so that's not what they do. The new millennials these days, they don't want you looking at all. Like, don't look at her. Mm-hmm. Don't like her picture. Don't put a heart on her post. Like,
well,
it's a picture. It's social media. Like, they literally will start arguing over stuff. Like, I've seen it so much, and it's like, what are y'all doing? It's social media. He's supposed to look. That's what he got two eyes for. If he ain't getting her number and if he ain't trying to kiss her and walk up on her, then you should be good.
Right.
Oh, yes, she is a pretty lady. You should be able to look at her. But that's the problem. It's not okay to get that upset about nothing. But she has some issues already, and instead of them addressing that, instead of her parents doing something about it, what do? We let her make more money. So now she has more access to stuff. Now she behaves even worse because now she's got money to go with her behavior.
Okay. Good point. But the thing is that I was told a while back from an older gentleman, I guess I'm about his age now, but I was told a while back, never be upset when a man looks at your woman. He said, never be upset with a guy for staring or looking at your woman. He said, because obviously you have something he wish he had. If they don't look, you have something nobody wants. I found that interesting. And it's a good point. You have something of beauty. And he wish he had her. You might call it lust or whatever you want to, you know.
So,
but obviously you have something you should be proud of.
Toby's net worth is between $2 to $3 million approximately. And he was 27 years old.
Mm-hmm. And right, because he had his own business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now here's money and money. They both had millions of dollars. And she claims that he was taking advantage of her money. That's what I read. She claims. But she chose to buy the things for him.
You read that she had millions also?
Yeah, her net worth is $2 million as well.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't no thousand there.
Yeah.
She had over a million followers.
2.5 to be exact.
Right. And she was and remember that she was doing she was sponsored and she was the face for a lot of products. A lot of companies approached her to advertise their products. That's where she got a lot of her money from too.
Well, that's where a lot of people get their money from nowadays on YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, so the other part of it is if I don't know if y'all have ever seen where if I purchase, like, stars for somebody because I want to give them stars, and I purchase stars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if millions of people purchase stars to gift to these people that they see on social media, whether they're a big name or not, they get a percentage of that money.
Correct.
One of the biggest TikToker makes $75,000 every time he posts. Every time he posts a video, he gets $75,000.
Exactly. It's big money in social media. There's a lot of money. Hell, there's a what's his name? Hanson. He's a model from Canada, and he has a model versus food, and he's a professional eater. The guy ain't huge. You know, handsome guy, but he do these competitions. He goes all around the country, Canada. He goes to the United States, other places, and eats large portions of food, in a record amount of time. In some places, he might just get a T-shirt. You know, he might get a cap. He might get $100 or whatever. But it's not the money he makes off of doing these competitions. It's the money he makes off of the people who view this and send stars, as Kot plainly stated. He's got thousands of viewers who send stars, and he's making money off of it. What's her name? There's this one Asian girl from who lives in California. She does the same thing. And her net worth is $5 million. That's all she does is eat. It's a business.
They make a lot of money. I don't know if have you ever seen that guy who the African guy who just sits with his eyes kind of bugged out and he just stares at stuff. He just stares at other people's videos. He posts other people's videos, but he's sitting there just looking at it. So he's video. He makes that's the guy that makes $75,000 every time he posts. His net worth is $4 million. I'm sorry. He gets paid $4 million a year to make all these videos. He's done a trailer with Idris Elvis just not too long ago for the new movie that Idris Elvis put out. And he didn't speak a word. All he was is he was in the video. He didn't say anything, and he got paid.
Wow. Okay, so I was going to play another music track, but I'm going to wait because we only have about maybe a little bit more than 17 minutes left on the show. Here's something I wanted to just throw out here, and I want to do it beforehand. You guys know that there are two major movies that are going to be released shortly. One is Till, and the other one is Wakanda Forever. I know some people who say, I'm not going to go see Till. And I asked why. They said, why would I want to go see something where I already know the outcome? Interesting point. I'm going to go see it because I do a show. So I have to have an opinion or my thoughts about it. And Wakanda Forever I'm going to go see too. So my question is, are you going to go see Till? And also, with Wakanda Forever, are you expecting, because some folks are saying that since the lead character, which was Chadwick Boseman, has passed, what are you expecting, really, from Wakanda Forever? From what I understand, the movie's going to be more about Wakanda and not necessarily a lead character, per se. What are you expecting from Wakanda Forever? And are you going to go see Till?
I'm probably going to watch both of them, but I don't have to go see it. I can see it anytime. So I'll probably watch both. And I actually think Wakanda Forever, I thought the sister was going to play a role as like a panther, I don't know. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
How it's going to play out, right. Cotton, your thought?
Oh, I'm definitely going to see it. Absolutely, I'm going to see the most movies. I'm excited. And what I'm expecting to see, I'm expecting that they're going to have some type of cameo appearance of Chadwick in there. I need that to be in that movie.
Interesting. You know what? I'm glad you said that because I do recall some folks saying that there's probably going to be clips that we haven't seen that they're going to put into the movie of him.
Yeah, because wasn't he working on it when he died?
I believe so. Right.
Yeah.
So there's got to be.
I think so.
Well, not got to be, but yeah, I do believe that may happen, of where they will have him in it. I wonder how they're going to write him off in the movie. See, that's the thing we haven't been told. How do they tell the story of his passing? You know, you can't just all of a sudden make a movie and then boom. It's like, what happened to, T'Challa, the character? Where is he? They got to have somewhere of how he is no longer in Wakanda. So that's the key thing that I'm looking forward to finding out.
Yeah, me too. I know they're going to have some type of cameo appearance of him in there because he started off being back Black Panther before Wakanda came out.
Yeah, he was the king of Wakanda. He just been crowned the king in the first movie. Now all of a sudden the lead character is gone. How do you write him out?
Well, when he was in the Avengers Endgame,
but he disappeared. Yeah, he was in the Marvel movie, but he was in the Marvel movie as Black Panther before Wakanda came out. So you can't not have him in the movie. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to put him in there somewhere.
Yeah, but they had him fade away in the Avengers movie, but he came back.
That's true. Yep, that's true.
Right. Okay, so next question is this. Should they replace, how do you think they will replace him? And if they do replace Chadwick, what actor do you think they will use or consider?
I said the sister, the one who played the role of the sister, the smart one.
So change it from a male to a female Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. because she was the one creating all these gadgets and everything for him.
Uh-huh. Cotton, your thoughts?
That's tough. I'm sitting here thinking I can't even think. That's tough. I'm going to go with what Janice said, the sister, because I can't think of another person that could play replace
mm-hmm.
him. Like, I really can't think of anybody
right.
that could replace him right now. That would do a phenomenal job.
Right. And she was part of the, she was the queen's daughter, you know, so he, you know, so hey, the mother, rather. You know, so I just feel like it's going to be her. Time will tell, you know. But they might start off showing him, and then something happens to him, and then she takes over from there. Did anybody
see
that?
See, that would be hard, too, because it would be like killing him all over again for everybody. It's like, wait a minute, you just killed Chadwick again?
That's an interesting point because, see, it changes the whole – the whole Black Panther thing, because you Black Panther has always been Black Panther, but now Black Panther is now female. I've never seen where a character, a superhero character, changed from a male to a female or a female to a male. That would be a totally
yeah.
different thing in,
yeah.
you know, superhero history.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
yeah.
Batman. I mean, you had Batman and Batgirl, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But just to change
yeah.
what was a male character to a female
the gender.
Character.
Yeah.
Right. That would be
I think I would rather them show where he's stepping down opposed to them killing him off, because that would just hurt. Like, what are we doing? Like, just show him passing the torch to the sister. That would be so much better than killing him off. I hope that they don't kill him off in the movie, but I'm going to see it.
Interesting. And so we will talk about it after we all see it and get our thoughts and opinions on it until, of course.
I'm good.
I think about what
first, so I'll be letting you know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hey, Michael, did anybody see Black Adam, the movie Black Adam?
No.
I did not, but I did see Woman King.
Yeah, I watched that too. But Black Adam, Don Johnson.
I have not seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you
just saw that.
Janet,
you saw that on... cloud.
Okay. Cody.
I'll look it up.
Movies at the theater.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look it up. Yeah, Black Adam. I've seen the advertisements and everything with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, I mean, I know he's part black, but he ain't really black. But anyway, I'm not going to go there. But let's do this. What we're going
to
do after these movies.
I just saw it today.
After we see these movies, we're going to do our own little movie review and get our takes of what we think about it and what we liked or disliked. We'll talk about that. Till I'm really curious about. I'm not going to go along with everybody else and say I'm not going to see it because I know the outcome. I want to see it because it is a story that, unfortunately, no one was convicted of. And just to see the theatrical version of it, I guess, to say, of how they tell this story and how true to, you know, what the situation was. I'm wondering if any family members or whatever of Emmett Till had any say into the story. That's what I really look at. Is not just some writer who's just going by what they read or this and the other. You know, how much research really went into telling the true story of this is what I'm really curious about, and that's what I'll be looking for. Anything else you guys want to share? Well, of course, there is. Cotton Campbell, I know you have some information to share with us. Go right ahead.
I got something.
I sure do. Last week's show, last Thursday show, was amazing. We talked about PTSD, but the next show, we're going to be talking about why do women accuse their daughters when they're being molested? What is it in you that makes somebody want to molest you? So we're talking about molestation. And so it's a very sensitive topic for those of you that, you know, who can handle it. Come on through. If you can, if you want to tell your story, the healing is there. That's what we'll be talking about on next Thursday. Next Thursday, y'all.
Okay. Fantastic. And yeah, I was glad to tune
in
last Thursday. Go ahead, Janet.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this, but I think that's news. Over in Great Britain, the new prime minister resigned. I think it was like 50
right.
days after she started. You know, she broke the record. You know, she couldn't take the heat, so she got out of that kitchen.
There you go. Sometimes we wish some of our own politicians would do the same thing here.
Right. That's why I
brought it. Yeah, interesting story. Yeah, I saw that. So, hey, you guys, make sure you tune in next Thursday. Let's Talk About It. We'll be live on a back-to-back Thursday. So make sure you tune in. Remind them what time, please, Cotton.
It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And I just want y'all to make sure you tune in. We are on so many different platforms. We're on iHeartRadio, and we're on Spotify. We're on Amazon. We're on quite a few different platforms. So please, 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 please share the information. Look us up. Share, share, share. And if you want to advertise on TMGN Network, please hit myself or Michael up, and we will give you some pricing on how you can do that. We can mention your product or service that you have going on our show.
We have five minutes left, and by the way, today we renewed our contract with VG, VDG, and yes, we are on Spotify. We renewed the contract with them, and so we're good to go, and iHeart and many other platforms. All right, so... hey, you guys, appreciate you chiming in. Great show, great conversation. We have more we're going to bring to you next week. And I'm not going to make any promises, but there's some things coming down the pipeline we're definitely going to work on. And one more thing. Please share the new show that's coming up next month, Cotton.
Yes, so... late night, open mic, late night with Cotton Campbell, the softest voice in poetry, who will be on the air at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you can come in and share your story. You can come in and share some poetry, some singing, some rap. Just come on in and join in on the fun. We're gonna really get it in. So be sure to join us next month. That starts. Thank you, Michael.
All right. Hey, you guys, again, thank you, all you folks that called in and sat in the background and listened to the show. I appreciate you, but you know you're always welcome to hit the number one and, join the conversation. But if you don't want to be, you know, on the mic, go ahead and join the chat room, post your questions or comments there. I will read them on the air live. All right. Janet, any more comments you have before we get out of here?
Yes, Cotton, I was trying to say a few minutes ago, I really enjoyed listening to your show. I didn't say too much because I would have been talking too much. But I did.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed it. And I will be tuning in on your next one.
Well, Cotton, I know you're in the airport and about to board a flight. I guess you're heading back to Kansas City or?
Las Vegas. Las Vegas. I'm having a procedure done next week, and so my daughter wanted to see me before I have the procedure. So I'm flying to Vegas to hang out with her and the grands, and then I'll be back in California.
Okay.
All right.
All right, you guys, we're going to get out of here. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you again for tuning in to the TMGS and Michael Gay Show on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, where you hear the Michael Gay Show and Let's Talk About It with your host, Cotton Campbell, on Thursdays. and the special Thursday show coming up this Thursday, as you well heard. All right, so we're going to get out of here. God bless.
Safe
Be
travel.
Safe. Take care. Of yourself. All right. Take care. Peace.